The Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boats mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their brother, father Zebedee, in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. I've been thinking this week how I would have responded had I been in Hawaii last Saturday and received the text that went out to everyone with cell phones that an interballistic intercontinental missile was headed for Hawaii, and this was not an alert. This was the real deal. What would I have done? I read a lot about what different people had done. Without question, the very first thing most everyone did, and this should come as no surprise, is Google, "What do you do if an intercontinental ballistic missile is headed at you?" They immediately Googled to find out what they should do. Should they be inside? Should they be outside? Should they duck and cover? What were the options? And what most of them realized is it really didn't matter what you did if a nuclear device was headed at you. And so people were met with very challenging choices. You know, immediately seeking to contact people and make peace and tell people that they loved them, they cared for them. Parents had to decide, okay, where do I go? Who am I going to be with? There were stories of families huddled together in bathtubs and parents trying to normalize things for their kids because you didn't want to scare them needlessly. So many different options. My personal favorite, though, was the story of the man who was at the hotel in the pool area, and what he did after he got it is he walked over to the bar and he ordered a Mai Tai and said, "Well, if I'm going to die in paradise, I may as well enjoy it." What do you do and how do you live if you knew you just had a short time left to live? How do you focus your energy? How do you pour yourself into it? I was actually thinking about that while I was watching the Vikings game last Sunday. And this actually does have to do with the gospel, I swear. I did not just make this up. It works out well. I was watching the game, and if any of you were watching it, it was one of the greatest playoff games in history, because in the last 2 minutes of the game, the lead changed four different times. There was a touchdown, and then a field goal, and then another field goal, and then that amazing Stephon Diggs touchdown that made me lose my voice for 3 days, and they could hear me screaming in Minnesota. But I said to my son, I said, you know, you got 60 minutes of a game, and it's like everything is poured into 2 minutes at the end of the game. Why don't they play like that the whole time? And the reality is you can't play like that the whole time. You can't lay it out absolutely every play like that, or you can't play for 60 minutes. You can give your all, but there's always that oomph that comes at the end. We can't live our lives like every minute is the last minute of our lives, regardless of what we tell people, because we would get worn out. So we have those bursts, those times of energy, those times when adrenaline kicks in and takes us to the next level. And today in the lesson for second lesson, Paul is talking to the people of Corinth. And they're waiting. They're wondering about the end. They believe that they are living and that Jesus is going to come back soon. They believe that as they worship and as they work together, that Christ is going to come and fulfill the kingdom promise that he had. And that's where he tells them, live your life to the fullest. Focus yourself on what you need to focus. He says, you know, let those who are husbands act as though they have no wives. And I'm not going to preach on that because that's like a whole other sermon. But the reality is he's telling them, make your focus the most important thing. Make the most important thing the most important thing. And I think we begin by thinking, what would we think of if our time was at the end? What comes to our mind? What are the important things? And what do we want people to know about us and to remember about us? What our passions were? What we cared about? What are we going to focus on in those last 2 minutes? Taking that thought, you know, what is it you care about? What are you passionate about? And then let's apply it to the lesson that we have from Jesus in the gospel. Because Jesus in the gospel today shows us that he's in ministry for the long haul. He has just been baptized, and he's gone into the wilderness for 40 days. And then he moves from the southern part in Jerusalem up to his hometown area, to the Sea of Galilee, where he begins his ministry. And his ministry lasts for 3 years. And he basically just starts walking along and telling people about Jesus. About himself. He is Jesus, sorry. He starts telling people about the good news, about the gospel of Jesus, the gospel that he's spreading. As he's walking along, he's drawing people toward him. And so he calls the disciples. He calls Peter and Andrew, and he calls James and John, come, follow me. And they leave everything, and they follow him. And for 3 years, he stays in the same small area, going around, focusing on healing, on preaching a gospel of forgiveness and love and grace. During that time, he goes to Jerusalem a few times, and that's when everything speeds up. It becomes like the two-minute warning. We hear a lot about that, but that was just a very short time in his ministry. And then the last week of his life becomes, it's actually, if you look at the book of Mark, it's 1/4 of the book of Mark is focused entirely on a one-week period. But in this first chapter of Mark, everything is immediately, and then they did this, and then they did this. They got on a roll. They started focusing on a long-term process for following Jesus. And I think as we read that today, we can recognize that we are also called to recognize the call of Jesus and to follow him. And to follow him with our hearts and our souls. And the truth is, we can't do everything. There are so many needs in this world. There are so many places of brokenness. There are so many issues that we could be really passionate about when we're called to come and follow Jesus and share his good news. And there are times in our lives when, you know, it feels like you almost get compassion fatigue. You know, there's so much going on in the world. There's so much you could care about. You don't even know what to do. And sometimes you feel like you're like a dog at a whistling convention because people are calling you this direction and this direction and this direction. And what do you care about? What do you focus on? Today I'd like to lift up that as we live in a time when it's our responsibility as followers of Christ to work with him to bring in the kingdom of God, to be his partners in ministry, which is essentially what he is calling us to do, for the long haul, not just for tomorrow, but for a long sustained ministry, is to reflect on what you're passionate about. What is significant to you? Where do you want to pour your energy? And I challenge you that you need to do this beyond yourself, because obviously if we're told we have just 30 minutes left to live, of course we're going to be in touch with our family, right? I mean, That's the connection you're going to make. And it's okay to care about that. Because God says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so it's okay to do that. But we're also called, when we follow Jesus, to look beyond ourselves, like James and John and Andrew and Peter did. Not looking at the boats, not looking at what was significant. They left things that were important to them to look to Jesus and to follow the mission and the ministry. And if we're Christ followers, we need to be focused beyond ourselves. We need to work as partners in bringing in the kingdom of God, because that's what Jesus did. He began to usher in the kingdom, and we become partners with him. So the challenge I have to you is to reflect on what you're passionate about and learn about it. Become engaged in it. Care about it so that people, when they know you, they know what you care about. Now, I'm saying this in a way that I don't want you to be the kind of person who, when people see you coming, they start hiding because they're afraid that they're going to be hit over the head by you drawing them into what matters to you and it becomes really important, and you're a terrible person if you don't agree with them that that's the most important issue in the world. Okay? There are those people. That's not what I'm calling about. It's drawing people with attraction so that they hear what you're passionate about and they learn about it and they become educated about it. I have friends who are passionate about things that are not as significant to me, but when I'm with them, I learn about it and I become engaged and I care about it with them and I become a broader person and I support them in their mission. I have friends who know that what I'm passionate about. If I had not just become passionate about Emmanuel, today I would be in Uganda with my friends Denise and John, where I go every year. This year I gave it up because I needed to actually get to know you. But next year at this time, I will be in Uganda. I'll be in refugee camps, and I'll be sharing with you about that. I'm passionate about refugee ministry. I'm passionate about it, and it's something that's deeply significant to me. I go and do trauma healing in the camps and work with microloans, and I like to share that information. We each need to have something, you know, your thing or your couple of things, one local, one global. I mean, we need to care and become part of it, because when we follow Jesus, we're on it for the long haul. Today as a church, we're beginning that process. For many years as a congregation, it was a focus on becoming accessible. And for the last year, that's what this church was passionate about, trying to figure out how to work around an accessibility project, how to make the church more accessible so that everyone could be welcomed. And now that it's accessible, we're in the process of figuring out what next. That's our town meeting will be about. How we can use this space, how we can make it accessible to the community, how we can fulfill our mission as we talk with Trinity Academy and begin to explore possibilities for ministry. As Christians, we're meant to live our lives with fullness and to always be in the game, to always be focused on what it means to be a follower of Christ. There will be times when we're called to put more into it, but we can't step back and act like we're not part of it. We don't do this in order to be saved. That's already been taken care of. When we hear or get a tweet, if I got something on my phone that said that an interballistic continental missile was coming at me, my first worry wouldn't be, oh my gosh, I hope I get to go to heaven. I wouldn't waste any time on that because I know that's already happened. I hope that's true for all of you as well, that assurance of God's grace. But once you have that assurance of God's grace, how are you going to relax and enjoy the paradise that's been promised you? How are you going to be able to say, I'm living my life with purpose and meaning? I'm on board for something that matters. Because when you do that, and when you're able to name that in your life, the things beyond yourself that you're passionate about, then you know that whenever the end comes, you've lived your life with purpose and direction, not thinking that every moment could be the last, but knowing in the last moment, you'll be part of a world that brought a greater kingdom and you were part of something greater than yourselves. And you're able to relax and enjoy the grace that God has given to all of us as participants in the kingdom of God. Amen.